welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over Dumbarton, preview the two-legged playoff tie against Spartans, and the Supporters Club held its annual awards night. We'll give you all the lowdown from a cracking night. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I'm Colin Byles, and with me is ever Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Season is now done and dusted. We now move into the unknown territory of the playoff situation. Obviously, know the playoffs, but we've never really been in this situation during the podcast time. So, bit of a strange one for us. We'd normally sort of be wrapping up the season, but looking forward to the hustle and bustle of the playoffs. I think the last kind of couple of games, two, three games, maybe it's maybe had nothing really on it, and maybe just now we're certainly well within the business end of the season.
Yeah, the last couple of games have been strange. Obviously, there's been rotation amongst the team as well. I lost that wee bit of, the little bit of spark that we're maybe trying to get as well. So yeah, it's been a wee bit up and down the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I think the guys were fully focused on getting into the playoffs. They achieved that, a wee bit of rotation going into the playoffs because, you know, potentially four games in 10, 11 days. A lot of football for part-time players as well. So, yeah, but this is why, I think the start of the season would have been looking at minimum getting the playoffs. Mm. I think in and around the club, people were thinking that as well. So, delighted that we've gotten the playoffs, and hopefully we've got four games still to go.
And it's a quick turnaround. Obviously, the last game was on Saturday, which we'll come on to. We're now straight into it on the Tuesday, so there's no time to really think about it, that you've got that buzz and you're just like, we're straight into it.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best way. You don't know what to believe now, maybe a week or a couple of weeks. It's, as you said, it's the business end of the season, getting right into it. Even for us, trying to get time off work, it's been in this morning and trying to sort things out. But yeah, it's the business end of the season. It was said a few times now, but that's why we're here, and yeah, we're hoping to go up.
So we'll crack on with a few things. I'm going to start actually with the... a little personal note. If you have been following my Instagram over the past wee while, you might have noticed a few weird posts been on it. It's just because it's been the account's been hacked. So if anybody's still following that account, can you unfollow it and report it? Because obviously, it's going on about Bitcoin. I'm nae a millionaire. I certainly wouldn't be sitting here doing this. I'm nae winning any or buying any cars and stuff like that. So if you can do us a huge favour by just reporting that account, get it shut down and get it unfollowed as much as possible as well. And if you have received any messages through that for me recently, since Thursday or Friday last week, it definitely isn't me. And I'm nae convincing anybody to buy any Bitcoin. So if you could do that, would be much appreciated. Obviously, it's a scary thing, and how these guys get into it. It's a bit a worrying weekend, but managed to get things sorted out. So if you could do that, would be much appreciated. Luckily for you, Martin, you're nae on Instagram or anything like that, so you've not got any dodgy messages from me.
on a side note, thanks for picking me up in your Ferrari on Saturday. Players' awards.
Yes, of course. So we ran a caption competition last week, just a bit of fun. We received a picture for club photographer Duncan Brown for the Spartans game, which obviously is when the game we're going to be talking about just coming up. Didn't even care he actually took it. I didn't even care he was standing directly across for us, which was how good a photographer he was. So we thought it would be a good idea just to see what kind of comments and captions you were going to come up with. We did pick a winner today. It was Keith Leslie. He was the one that he came up with, the one that gave us both a chuckle with that as well. So he's going to be the owner of a Blue Toon Podcast hoodie very shortly. So good, well done to him, and thanks to everybody who entered as well. There was a few crackers come in as well.
Yeah, there was a few that gave me a chuckle. There was a few that can't be repeated. We've maybe got some privately as well that won't repeat. But yeah, it was fine. It's something a little bit different. And it certainly captured the imagination of a few people as well. So as you said, thanks very much for taking the time to comment.
Yeah, it was actually a really good picture as well. I genuinely got no idea if it we were looking at on the phone at that stage. I'm trying to think back. It was probably looking at the league table because it changed that much during that game.
Yeah, I think to start the first half, I stood on the little hill that was there, and then we came down and we were speaking about the goals that you can add and how the league table was changing already, even so early in that half as well. So I think that's where it was, but yeah, I need to try and figure it out.
Figure it out, yeah. On Saturday, after the game against Dumbarton, was the Supporters Club end of season awards night, and it was a really good night, really well attended. As you can imagine, it was much better attended than what it was last year, and certainly the atmosphere was a lot better than it was last year, considering the situation that the club was in, and it just shows you how much, you know, a winning team on the park can affect how things happen off the park. And obviously, if you're a losing team off the park, that obviously affects it as well.
Yeah, I think we've noticed in recent months as well, the hospitality area has been pretty much sold out most weeks, or very nearly. And as you said, the atmosphere was good on Saturday. Got to compliment the players as well. They took time to go room people, and they weren't adverse to speaking to people. You know, it wasn't just like a clicky a table. They were quite happy to speak to people. They took photos as well. And at times, you know, there's maybe been a thing thrown at us previously, where there has been a divide between the club, the supporters, and the players, but that wasn't the case on Saturday. It was, as you said, it was well attended, very well organised as well throughout. Unfortunately, the players couldn't manage a drink or two, obviously they've got the playoffs to contend with on Tuesday. But, you know, even the guys from the Central Belt, they stayed until the raffles and everything were pretty much done. So, yeah, huge credit to everyone and for getting that event on, and it was very well attended.
So the winners were Kieran Shanks won the top goal scorer award. The player's player went to Jack Brown. Young player, the supporters' young player of the year was to Danny Strachan, and the supporters' player of the year was Ryan Strachan. Really difficult choice. Obviously, we've got our end of season awards coming up as well in the next couple of weeks. It's really difficult to pick a player and a young player this season.
Yeah, that's a good thing. There's been a lot of good competition within the team. I think it's been difficult this year because you can look at a player and you think, well, he's maybe had a dip in form for maybe a month or so, or, you know, they've been injured for a couple of months or suspended, whatever. There's arguments pros, you know, for and against for every player really in the squad. So it was very difficult. I think Bruce said certainly there wasn't much between the top three and the nominations as well for winning it for the Supporters Club. And that just shows you everybody sees football differently and everybody's got their own opinions. But, you know, if you try and think back to last year, try to pick a Player of the Year award, that was mighty difficult, but for the wrong reasons. Yeah. So, as you said, a winning team, lots of nominations.
And the food was provided as well. It was excellent, as you'd expect. Plenty selection there as well. So well done to Mary and the rest of the staff there as well. And to Bruce and the supporters committee for organising the evening as well. Great work, not just for Saturday night, but obviously over the course of the year as well. They did a body of work there as well.
Yeah, they do a huge amount of work behind the scenes. Probably a lot of work that doesn't get noticed or recognised as much as it should. But it really should be highlighted. As you said, Mary and the staff, they had a full hospitality on the Saturday afternoon as well, and they had the function at night. Whilst they're not adverse to doing, you know, hospitality and a function, you know, it was a packed out game for the Dumbarton game and then the player awards at night. So huge turnaround, and a massive thanks to Mary, her team, and all the staff there on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, a few raffles handed out as well. I managed to win a bottle of wine and massage oil. I'm not going to tell you what I've done with that, but you can use your imagination. Really good entertainment provided by Dave, Disco Dave, but really good entertainment provided by Natty Porter, who was kind of ruined doing close-up magic.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how he managed to do it, but I'm glad because he showed the card trick when we were up beside a couple of the players, and then he showed us about half an hour later as well. It was still the same trick, it was still the same outcome, so he certainly perfected it, that's for sure.
And the pattern was exactly the same, word for word.
Yes, yeah, it's almost like he's reading first script, but it comes very naturally to him, does it? We were speaking to John Morgan as well, and you know, it just shows you the... Probably the spirit amongst that level and the board as well. The club is a very good place, regardless of what happens over the next couple of weeks. The club is in a very good position. It's a very good place. You know, it's night and day to what it was, you know, 13, 14 months ago.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, you can certainly tell by the amount of people that were there on Saturday, the atmosphere in general. It was really positive. It was really the vibe was good as well. Players were mixing. It's exactly what you would want from a night like that. Obviously, at the start of the season, we would expect it maybe to be lifting a League Two trophy, but we've got the second best prize, which is the finishing second and going into a playoff campaign.
Yeah, and it's been a very competitive season. They just was, obviously, Dumbarton, there's East Fife, Spartans, Steny winning that fantastic run, which, looking back on it, had they not been on that run, it could have been a completely different season for them, the way their form tailed off. Mm-hmm. But as you said, it's a really positive place to be at just now. But like we've said, we're hoping there's a couple more weeks still to go for us.
So we ended the regular season on Saturday with a home game against Dumbarton, which ended up being a 2-1 victory for us. Very good first half, I thought. Maybe let them back into at the beginning of the second half, but all in all, job done. And we've got the second place, which we were really pushing for.
Yeah, I think obviously we got the win naturally, and that is what you are looking for. It's job done. I think the only criticism, maybe two things. One, you've got the injury to Peter Pollitt and the red card to Jordan Brown. Obviously, just the way we allowed them back into it in the second half. But I think it's more Dumbarton being active and changing things at half time. But overall, 3 points, and against a team, obviously, you're competing with to finish second, it turns out it's a very good win.
We were doing a bit of weather watching during that early spells in the first half because you could see for the east stand, at the back of the east stand where we were at. Normally you'd be able to see the hooses over at the back of Cartwood Drive, etc. But you couldn't see them at one point, and there was a real concern that the fog was rumbling in.
Yeah, the fog came in pretty quick. There was a 20-minute spell where it was just getting closer and closer. And this was only, it was before half three. So, yeah. You know, you wouldn't have been surprised with the referee. If the way it continued, had the referee maybe thought at half-time abandoning the game or something. But, yeah, it was looking good at one point, and then thankfully it sort of eased off. But, yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised had the way it was going, whether the referee might have had a chat with managers at half-time.
Because we were trying to figure out the rules, because like we say to ourselves, well, the season's finished. We've got a playoff game on Tuesday. How do we cram this game? Does it mean they come back on the Sunday? When does it get played? Does the playoff get pushed back? So, but thankfully, the fog did move away pretty quick, as quick as it came in, and we managed to get the game finished.
Probably the one thing the referee did get right on the day, to be fair to him. But yeah, there was a slight concern. I'm really not sure how it would have worked had the game been abandoned. I reckon with our... Yeah, they don't need to sort something out. As you said, at this time of recording, it's Monday night, so the playoff game is tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know what they'd have done in that situation.
We were sort of pre-warned that there would be a few changes in the lineup on Saturday, and writing off there was 8 changes altogether, and only Stuart McKenzie, Scott Ross, and Alfie Stewart remained in the starting lineup for the previous game. Caleb Goldie, Jason Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Andy McCarthy, Jack Brown, Peter Pollitt, Flynn Duffy and Connor O'Keefe all dropped out. Danny Strachan, David Wilson, Jordan Armstrong, Jordan Brown, Joe McKee, Rory McAllister, Kieran Shanks back for his suspension and Robert Ward all started. But you looked at that, it was still a pretty strong lineup, pretty strong bench as well.
Something we've said all season, is it? That we've got strength, we've got depth, we've got quality as well. That was 8 changes in the team, and the biggest compliment you can give them is it didn't look like a changed squad. I dare say it's probably the strongest bench we've had in years. When you look at the experience that's on it, plus the quality, Massive difference to what we've had in previous seasons as well. But just shows you it's a squad game. Ryan and Jordan have said for a number of weeks now they're going to utilise our squad. They've done that. And for the performance that we got in the first half for what you class as a rotated team, I think it was a brilliant performance.
And that was without Andy McCarthy available as well. So, I mean, you could have added him onto the bench as well and made it strong. But as you said, it wasn't a weak inside. It was still a pretty strong side, and they started 4-4-2 when we had Kieran Shanks and Ronan McAllister up front for the first time in a wee while, playing from the start.
Yeah, it was good to see the two of them again. As I said, we're going into the hopefully last four games of the season with the playoffs, and you're wanting these players to be at the forefront there, your talisman, the ones that are leading the line. It was good to see them both start the game. Obviously, Kieran came off after about an hour mark, but yeah, good to see the two of them linking up again up top.
And we got off to the perfect start after just 7 minutes. Kieran Shanks back into the lineup and back in amongst the goals as well, with a headed goal after a Robert Ward cross. And brilliant cross, but the skill for Faye Wardy to get the space to beat the defender was sublime. And he not only did he get the skill in, but he also got the cross in as well.
Yeah, it's one thing getting the skill, it's another thing getting the end product, and he's combined the both of them well. Great ball into Shanks. I think probably I personally think that was Robert's best 45 minutes he's had for us since he's been here. I thought he was different class that first half, and the work rate that he put in as well. As I said, the conditions weren't great underfoot, but you know, he's up and doing that line, he was covering across as what I thought was his best 45 minutes he's had in a blue tune shirt. And as you said, he thankfully got an assist for his rewards as well, and yeah, Shanks has finished off at the back post.
Yeah, Wardy had one of those games where he seemed to be quite up for it as well. He was particularly vocal as well, which I thought was slightly different for him as normal. But he was being aggressive, but controlled aggressive as well.
Yeah, he'd a bit of hunger in his belly, I think, and that kind of something's maybe changed the last couple of weeks, but. I thought he was unfortunate to come off in the Alden game up at Borough Briggs a couple of weeks ago. I thought he put in a decent shift, but Saturday he almost took it up another level. But I guess when you've got players like Hamish Ritchie and Conor O'Keefe, you know, waiting in the wings, then you have got to put in good performances, and he wants to be a big player for us. He wants to be in the starting 11 in the big games, and you know, I certainly think he did his cause no harm on Saturday with especially the first half performance.
Yeah, with the playoffs coming up, all these players want to be involved. They want to be playing in these big important games, and you know, if they can all produce performances to that level, and I don't think anybody that came in on Saturday had a poor game. It's exactly what Ryan and Jordan would be looking for, is players to come in, step up and go, we're starting 11 Disney Pickett sale now.
I think Ryan and Jordan had a tough time in December, January, trying to pick a starting 11 with various different things, with injuries and suspensions. But I think they've got the same problem now, but on a different scale, because, as you said, nobody came in on Saturday and did their chances any harm. So then do you think, well, do you change a winning team? Obviously, Jordan, he'll be out, he's suspended. Peter Paul has got an injury, he won't play on Tuesday. But other than that, you're looking at the squad and you're thinking, well, do I make changes? Do I then maybe save them for the game on Friday, Saturday being the home game? Or do you then go into this game thinking, well, if you can get a win doing there, it sets you up in great stead as well. So a different sort of selection problem for them, but in a positive way. But yeah, I don't think maybe did our chances any harm by starting the game tomorrow night.
And it was good, as I said, to get the Shanks back in the starting lineup and back in amongst the goals as well. It takes him to 14 for his tally as well. And that'll just give him a little bit of confidence as well going into these playoff games.
Yeah, another new set of boots for him as well. Sporting the orange colour this week. But yeah, that little bit of confidence boost that he's been needing. It's a goal from open play as well. Not known for his heading ability either. So yeah, I think a good one to get on the score sheet and give him a bit of confidence going into the last couple of weeks.
And he was, as it seems to be a pattern, it seems to be happening now as well, getting battered for pillar to post by the Barton players. And not getting any sympathy or any protection for the referee at all either.
No, I thought overall that the officials, again it's Christopher Dice at the centre of it, but I thought the officiating was poor on Saturday. They just went, I'm a dank who's helped out by his linesman's either. but yeah, you're looking for a bit of protection. He's a slim sort of guy. There is obviously bigger defenders going about, but yeah, I just think he certainly doesn't get the rub of the green. The 50-50s always go against him. And even something that is a blatant free kick, he didn't get on Saturday. And I think he'd maybe, unfortunately, got a bit of a reputation of maybe going down often, but half the time, or more than half the time, you look at it and you think, well, it's a blatant free kick and he doesn't get them. And then the ones that you think, well, you know, that's just a coming together, is the ones that you get. So, yeah, I think he's harshly treated by the officials, if I'm being honest.
But what I thought was good was he controlled his temper a little bit. Maybe a few weeks ago, a few months ago, maybe he would have been... the petulance might have come through, but he just sort of he took it and didn't react.
Yeah, I think if he does his talking by getting goals and assists, that will shut up defenders no end, and he'll be pleased with it as well. I certainly think there's a maturity. I think we've said that about a few players over the last 12 months, but he's one of them as well. He's maturing as he's getting older as well with his footballing career. He's still obviously a very young man, but it's the way he goes about his game. He's getting battered from pillar to post, and he gets up and he gets on with it. Yes, at times he makes his point to the referee, because you're not just going to accept getting battered for pillar and post, you know, for the full 90 minutes and they making it known to the referee. But yeah, I think he's definitely shown a maturity in his game over the last, you know, couple of months.
Joe McKee possibly had give us a two-goal lead, but we now know it was Jordan Brown who got the final touch. Alfie Stewart with the corner kick, it was cleared out to Joe McKee, and we're all screaming, just hit it, and that's exactly what he did. He catches it beautifully, and then before you know it, it's in the back of the net, and we think to ourselves, it's a good strike for him. But Jordan's away celebrating the other way, so there's a little bit of confusion. But I did say to you on Saturday, well, if Jordan's celebrating the way he's celebrating, it must have been his goal.
Yeah, Jordan said, listen, certainly did he, that Joey's hit it absolutely sweet, but it didn't need that touch just to put it in the back of the net, because it was either going out to a defender or a keeper was going to get it. But yeah, special day for Jordan as well with the appearances, and obviously Sophia being on the pitch as well with him. So special day for him. Unfortunately, it ended with a red card, but I'm sure one that he'll savour, especially scoring the goal as well.
Yeah, and that takes him to 39 in total now for Peter, which takes him into the top five of the all-time list as well, which is a good achievement for him. And as you mentioned as well, 350 career games in total now for him as well, and it's his fifth of the season as well. So it's been a pretty decent season overall for him in terms of personal milestones on and off the park.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work off the pitch as well. Obviously, a job, and obviously his coaching badges as well. So, been a very positive season for Jordan. Hopefully, he'll kick on again next season with his stuff as well.
And it was one of those, because there was a bit of confusion, obviously. It was on Twitter saying it was a Joe McKee goal, and then we've stuck it on it as being a Jordan Brown. It didn't help match announcer Graham McLean, because he'd give it to Jordan, but he also gave the first goal to Rory McAllister as well, so he was having a bit of an off day. But yeah, it was one of those games where, you know, maybe the fog played more of a part than what we thought.
Yeah, it was maybe more foggier over at Graham's side than for it was over at our side. But these are the things, when he's reading it out and he's doing it live, these things will happen. You'll miss the odd thing from time to time. But credit to him, every week he steps up and he gets back on the microphone. So, yeah, credit to him.
Yeah, and he's never here to take a piss out of himself as well, but he does it.
I think that's maybe because he came to get a piss team out of him if he didn't do it.
So we were two up. Dumbarton really hadn't gotten started at all in the first half. And I think there was just one save for Stuart McKenzie for a Michael Ruth effort for range, which was a good save, well held as well, which was good to see for McKenzie, because obviously it was a pretty quiet afternoon for him, and that's especially in that first half. So to produce a save like that was good.
It looks like one of them where, when you look back and you think, oh, it's an easy save for the goalkeeper, but you, as we've mentioned right at the start, the weather played a huge part. And that ball was zipping about, it was wet on the gloves as well. And the fact that he's caught it in midair as well as he's diving, it's a very good save. It looks easy, Stuart makes it look easy, but he's got to be in the right place, he's got to get his grip right. And as you said, he didn't really have much to do in the first half, so it makes it an even better save and crucial time as well. But yeah, I thought Stuart, again, reliable pair of hands in the net.
Yeah, so half time we were up and pretty much, I'm going to say cruising, but you know, you go into the half time break with a 2-goal lead. Your opposition haven't really troubled you at all. You know, we've had a couple of other efforts as well. Wardy involved with most of the positive things going forward as well. And then Dumbarton come out at the break. They make three changes, and obviously they were keen to push on because, you know, the way that the results were going elsewhere, they were going to be slipping down to fourth position, and obviously then having to play whoever was going to be finishing ninth in League One, and obviously that could have changed at any point as well. And then within 3 minutes of the start of the second half, they were right back in it. Wilson with the goal, disappointing one to concede and so early in the half as well, allowing Dumbarton to get their tails up.
Yeah, I think his 2-0 goal. I think we're very comfortable. Obviously, it's a precarious lead. The third goal in the game can completely change it. But given the way we played in the first half, I think the way we started the second half was completely night and day for whatever reason. We know that they made three substitutions. That probably played a part. They were just trying to get to grips with where everybody was playing. They had a couple of players move as well. And we've allowed them back in the game. It's a sloppy goal to concede, the timing of it as well. We just never really got a foothold in that. I think we did struggle for, you know, a good chunk of that second half, and never really seemed to get out of our box, and then we're too defensive, or defensive line was too deep. And at times we struggled, but, you know, again, that shows the character that we've got in the squad, that they kept fighting, and, you know, in the end, we managed to take out a 2-1 win.
Yeah, as you said, it just seemed to be that it was quite funny because it looked as though that, you know, both sides at the start of the game went, right, okay, you guys can have the first half, we'll have the second half. Because it was just, for some reason, it was just a complete switch around. But again, without Dumbarton really having too many efforts on goal either.
Yeah, I think when you look back at it, I think we were under the cosh, but I think we were very controlled. I don't think we were ever really pulled apart. I think there was maybe one effort. I think Scotty blocked it when he came across, or he read it and he intercepted it. It was one of the two, I can't remember now, but I don't think we're ever really tested that much with a chance it went wide again. But overall, I thought it was we were under the cosh, but like I said, it was controlled, never really pulled apart. And it showed really good maturity in that defensive structure to see out the game.
The closest they came was the one for Hilton that hit the post, and it actually looked as though it was going in for your angle, and for some reason it sort of squirmed and hit the post. And that was really the only moment, apart from the goal, that you thought that they were going to get back into.
Yeah, I think that was the only chance. We were right behind it. I think we were convinced it was going until it hit the post, and then, you know, went out to safety. But yeah, other than that, I thought we defended really well. Excuse me, defended really well. And as I said, looking back, I think it was very controlled.
Yeah, and that defensive line of Danny Strachan, David Wilson, Scott Ross, and Jordan Armstrong is one that probably hasn't played too often at all this season, but again, and we keep saying it with Davey Wilson, but he comes in, and when he's asked to come in, and you know what you're going to get for Davey Wilson. Very reliable, very professional, and does his job well.
Yeah, very well. I think his decision making's improved this season as well, compared to last season. I think he's more aware of his surroundings. At times it was maybe a case where he'd get the ball and he'd look for an easy ball up top, and it was almost like just getting rid of it away from the goal. But this season, more assured. I think he's more confident in his own ability. I think Danny Strachan on Saturday was brilliant again. At times he had 2-1 after Jordan got sent off, defended very well, didn't dive in, very easy on a surface like that to lose your footing and, you know, dive into challenges. There's one that as well, remember the inside the box just on the edge, we thought was maybe going to concede a penalty, but again he stands up and he did really well. So yeah, as you said, the defensive unit as a whole, Jordan Armstrong as well coming in, he hasn't played much football, put in a really good performance as well. So yeah, very, very good.
Just the one blip in the game then, as you touched on earlier on, was the sending off of Jordan Brown midway through the second half for two yellow cards. The first was in 68, and then the second yellow was just 4 minutes later, so quick turnaround there. I suppose there's really real arguments for either yellow card. perhaps the biggest criticism was that he didn't come off any quicker, i.e. being subbed off. But as we discovered, having spoken to Jordan and spoken to Ryan on the Saturday night, the plan was to take him off and bring on Peter Pollock, but the ball just didn't go quick enough, and the first time that there was a break in play was the foul created by Jordan Brown.
Yeah, so it's luck, isn't it? The substitution was planned that Pollock would come on for Jordan, but obviously Jordan's then made that foul. He said himself it was two bookings. Hard to really argue with it, to be fair. I kind of said the referee had one decision right earlier on. He maybe actually got two right. Frustration. I think the second one, given the area of the pitch that it's in, did Jordan need to make the tackle? Yeah, you need to look it back and see if it was a break on or whatever. But I think as soon as he did it, he knew straight away there was no arguments for him. It's just unfortunate he couldn't come off any quicker to get Paul on. So we'll miss Jordan, and subsequently now with Paul getting an injury, we'll actually miss both of them for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, Christopher Dice, obviously we're not the biggest of fans of Christopher Dice. Boyle counts it, that was his last game as a referee as well. So, I mean... what a way to finish.
Yeah, I mean, as a human being, you wish him well for whatever he goes on today. We're led to believe he's maybe going to be doing some of the VAR stuff for the top flight. But as a referee, it's not just one game that we've had, you know, bugbear into him. There's been quite a few now. I think this is, what, his seventh game he's done for us this season. And I dare say the vast majority of them, there's been something throughout the game. What I would say is he wasn't helped by his linesmen on Saturday. I thought they were pretty poor as well. Didn't really help him out at all. As a official, as a career, yeah, it's maybe just a blessing that we're going to hate him next season.
Yeah, it's okay if it's just the referee that's having a bad game, but as you said, both linesmen were just as bad, so indecisive with some of the decisions, some of the things that were happening right in front of them as well. They weren't even making decisions for, they were almost waiting for the referee to make the decision.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned it on Saturday, it's quite impressive for a referee and his officials to annoy both sets of players within one 45-minute period. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. Both players were getting so frustrated at free kicks they'd been given, and then they were actually getting free kicks that nobody really appealed for. It was maybe just a slight trip or the flan over the ball and they've gotten something. So, yeah, I think he managed to annoy both sets of players and managers alike. But, a very difficult afternoon for Christopher Dice.
Yeah, so we'll see where he ends up going forward, but we'll obviously when I see him again. Right, let's get some of your thoughts on the game then. We'll start with Craig Wyness. Rory thoroughly deserved his man of the match. Second half wasn't nice to watch, made it hard for ourselves. Ward never stopped the whole game until he got subbed. Need him for Spartans for sure. Well done, the Blue Toon. Norman Green, hopefully a win in the playoff as we haven't had one yet, and we'll come on to that shortly. Neil Thompson played some really nice stuff first half, but let them back into it. Going down to 10 men did not help. Rory McAllister put in a great shift, winning nearly every header and playing some lovely flicks. Picked up the sponsors man of the match, which took a bit of doing as Robert Ward had a terrific game as well. Pity Peter picking up a knock, could miss the upcoming games. Robert Patterson, the team played well today, yes, they did drop a gear in the second half. Yet again, the referee was poor and, in my opinion, spoiled an entertaining game. John Smith, sorry, but having been booked a few minutes before it, Jordan gave the referee an excuse to send him off. It was a needless trip in the middle of the park. He is an experienced pro and could have cost us dearly. Kevin Wilson, the referee was the usual shambles. And finally, Keith Bristol. Excellent first half from all, especially Shanks, Rory, Wardy and Alfie Stewart. Did well to hold it together in the second half after Jordan got needlessly sent off and Pollock went off injured. Overall, we fought well to win, and well done, lads. And that's maybe something that goes unnoticed, is the fact that obviously Pollock had come off once Jordan had been sent off. We'd already used all our subs, so we're actually, if playing the last maybe 3-4 minutes, we 9 men.
Yeah, which makes the win even better. Again, it's only 3-4 minutes, but when they've got, they basically know if they can get a point off the Spartans at that point, hitting the score to win the game. But, you know, they were still desperately trying to get a point to sort of seal that third place. and they kept going, and they didn't really create anything, even from where Dundee to nine men, and that's a testament to the players that was on the pitch.
Yeah, and just getting on to some of the points there, we maybe already touched on, but you know, Robert Ward getting a lot of praise for the comments as well, Rory and Shanks as well, but Alfie Stewart again had another terrific game as well, having played on the Wednesday night as well in the Scottish Youth Cup final.
Yeah, a lot of minutes in the legs for Alfie. I think it's probably why he came off. He did look a wee bit tired to start that second half, but when you consider he'd been playing on a very big pitch at Hampden as well, and then playing a really good first half for us, then yeah, you can see why he's tired. But again, him and Wardy put in a great shift, and these are young guys that are learning. They're finding their way in football, really. Hopefully we'll see the best of Robert next season, and also he'll go back to Aberdeen. I'm pretty sure he's going to, if he's not in the Aberdeen first team, he'll be good to a Championship side, and he'll definitely show his quality.
Yeah, he's been terrific coming in, and he's got a, he's a captain of the youth side as well, and you can tell he's got an old head maybe on young shoulders as well. He seems to have that about him that he can be a captain and a leader.
Yeah, I think he's he always seems to be in the right place at the right time. You're speaking of him being the captain. He's around a lot of good players. You know, you've got players like Andy McCarthy and Jordan Brown just running about him, learning a lot off him. Obviously, we're on Jason Brown, Ryan Strachan. You know, these are experienced guys as well. I'm sure he's picked up a lot in his time here that he can take on to further his career.
So at one stage we were making preparations to be playing Dumbarton again on the Tuesday night down at the Rock, but then Spartans managed to get themselves a late winner at East Fife, and which now means that the playoffs look like Spartans against Peterhead. And Dumbarton will go to Stirling Albion on Tuesday night in the first legs, and obviously the second legs on the Saturday, being Peterhead against the Spartans, and then Stirling Albion home to Dumbarton. It's probably, strangely enough, the one against Spartans is maybe the more difficult one that we possibly could have had, given the results of, this season and how tough the games have been between the two sides. This will be this will actually be game 6 and 7 against the Spartans by the time we play them on Saturday. So we know them well, and we know that they like coming up to Balmoore as well.
Yeah, this will be two very difficult games, and I wouldn't expect Jordan Ryan to say anything different other than it being difficult games. They've been very close games in the previous meetings as well. You only need to look back to two weekends ago when we went down to Ainslie Park, and you know, it was two teams that you could see they were, their first thought is trying to attack, trying to win the game. Whether that's the same in a two-legged game might be slightly different in, you know, the team's approach. But yeah, I think that'll be a very tight over two legs. I'd be surprised if there's plenty of goals in it, but one very much looking forward to, because it's two very good sides.
And the other one as well is quite intriguing, Stirling Albion against Dumbarton. Dumbarton obviously will want to try and get a bit of revenge over Stirling Albion, having seen Stirling Albion pip Dumbarton to the league title last season, with Dumbarton having been so far in front as well. So that'll be an interesting one. There's possibly an argument as well that had Peterhead lost the game on Saturday and slipped into fourth, we would have been playing Stirling Albion. Would that have been a better tie for us, you know, playing a side that, you know, essentially kind of buy a win at the minute?
Possibly. I certainly think there'll be a wee bit of niggle between Stirling and Barton. Just obviously the way the Dumbarton sort of crumbled and Stirling pipping them to the title, then I think Dumbarton would like to get one over on them, certainly. I mean, you could look at it, had we finished fourth and got Stirling, you'd probably go in momentum that would have been with us, but you are playing a team in a higher division. I think the fact that we know Spartans and Dumbarton both very well sort of goes into our favour, because you know what you're going to be up against. You don't have to think too much, and as we said, it's a very tight turnaround between the Saturday and the Tuesday, so probably a team that you're familiar with. And also a team that we just played the other week as well. There's going to be very little changes from, you know, the team 2 weeks ago to now for both teams. So yeah, I'm saying this now. I'm happy we've got Spartans. I think it will be a tight game, but as I said, one I'm very much looking forward to.
So the first leg is on Tuesday. You may have the game may have already happened by the time you watch this, so we may well be prepared for the second leg. But Tuesday, Saturday, for the two games against Spartan, and we had 8 changes on Saturday to the lineup. I would expect similar changes as well. You look at the who were on the bench. You know, Jason Brown on the bench, Hamish Ritchie, Andy McCarthy was missing, Jack Brown was on the bench, Flynn Duffy was on the bench as well, but he didn't come off. You'd expect at least maybe 3 or 4 of those players to be coming in, certainly. As I said, Pollock could be missing, and Jordan Brown being suspended as well.
Yeah, I think there might be 4 or 5 changes. It's difficult because you're almost trying to guess that you might be playing 4 games in just under 2 weeks, but at the same time, if you didn't come through this one, your season is done on Saturday. But I think you've got to go with a strong squad, because obviously you cannot win the game tomorrow night and be through, but you can certainly lose it, if that makes sense. If you come back on the road with a 3-0 defeat, makes Saturday very, very difficult. So you want to try and get your noses in front, try and get a victory if you can, or at worst, come away with a draw. I do think there will be a few changes in the team.
Yeah, and anybody who does drop out of that starting lineup on Tuesday for Saturday's game will feel hard done by as well, because as I've said, nobody really had a poor game, but you would expect them to start with a similar style. Again, we played with the one up front the last time doing there. Shanks and Rory played on Saturday. You may see them both starting again as well.
Yeah, possibly. As you said, if somebody does drop out, they'll be harsh on them. But as we've said numerous times, it's a squad game and we've got plenty of quality. So when they do come off the bench, they'll hear that wee bit of hunger and fire in their belly to try and prove Ryan and Jordan, look, I was worthy of a start. And, you know, that can work in our favour as well. The end goal is to try and get promotion, obviously, and I'm sure everybody is pulling in the same direction. And whoever starts the game, they'll be cheered on by their teammates from the bench.
Yeah, and obviously we'll know who the referee is it's Dan McFarlane. He's going to be the official. Last time he had a Peterhead game was the 0-0 against Bonnyrigg Rose, which where he sent off Alfie Stewart for 2 yellows, I think, for that game as well.
Yeah.
Another who has been known for having bad games.
Yeah, I think you could go through most of the officials this season at one point or another and say they're kind of being great. But yeah, you're hoping that this ties aren't ruined by us speaking next Monday about the officials. You're hoping that it's dictated by the players. And a good referee is one that you didn't really speak of, unfortunately, when I had too many of them this season. But yeah, it's fully focused on the players, and hopefully they can do the business over 2 legs.
And something may have to give between the two sides. Spartans are unbeaten in 7, we're unbeaten in 9, which was our best run in the last 10 years. So obviously, if both sides end up being both undefeated by the time Saturday comes, we know we're into the lottery of penalties.
Yeah, that's something you really don't want to be going down the route of, because as you said, it's a lottery, it's potluck, what happens. That's why I think Tuesday night's game could be quite a cagey one. Neither team will want to lose it and show their cards and give the opposition the upper hand. I would not be surprised if we're coming up to Balmoor and the game's level. That's just the way I think. But the fact that it's a two-legged affair, as I said, maybe you'll want to lose it. You could see the tactical battle come out between the managers.
Yeah, and in all honesty, a draw might not be a bad result coming away from there. And if we can, possibly nae if we did the last time doing it, I'll get it so late, but you know, nae leave it as late, but coming away with a point certainly would be a draw would be certainly be a decent result going into the second leg with the home advantage.
Yeah, and that's crucial, is it, with the home advantage. I think if we're leaving there tomorrow night and we've got a draw out of the game, I would think it's a decent result. I think we'd prefer a draw more than what Spartans would. But as you said, Spartans, you know, they've got a good unbeaten run as well. They'll fancy their chances coming up to Balmoor and, you know, causing, I wouldn't say an upset, but, you know, getting that away victory. And yeah, as I say, it's 2 games I'm very much looking forward to.
And regardless of what the result is on Tuesday night, win or draw or loss, hopefully win or draw. We want to see a good crowd in there at Ballymore on the Saturday. We had 811 on Saturday against Dumbarton. We'd really love to see that going at, over the 1,000 mark.
Yeah, I think it would be good. You know, the players have put a lot of effort in the season. And, yeah, that 90 minutes with the crowd behind them, they've mentioned it before, the crowd play a huge part. I think Spartans, they've got that offer on tomorrow as well. If you're a season ticket holder for Hibs, Hearts, Civil Service and Edinburgh City, I think it is, you get them for half price. So I think that's a great incentive as well. They're trying to get a good crowd. But the same if we can do that up here, get a really good crowd, as you said, get that 1,000 mark. It's been a long time since we've broken that. And yeah, just cheer the boys on, because that difference from the crowd can make a huge difference in the end.
And if you can't make it to the game on the Tuesday night, doing it at Ainslie Park, it is available via the streaming service provided by Spartans as well. So good to get as many to watch the game as well. And I think it's reasonably priced as well, around about $7.99, which is a lot cheaper than normal. So yeah, if you're going to get yourself doing there, chuck Spartans at $7.99 for the streaming as well.
Yeah, they're very, very good price. I think that we've seen some, you know, the £12-13 mark, that just shows you they're trying to do everything they can as well. It appears to be a cheaper price in the streaming. They're offering half price if you've got a season ticket for other clubs as well. So, yeah, they realise the importance of the home fixture as well. And hopefully we can do the same when the teams meet at Ballymore on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to the playoffs. It's something that we've had before, but we've never been promoted via the playoffs. Since we've started with the playoffs back in 2005, I think it was. So it's a chance to make a little bit of history. You know, we've never seen a team being relegated from League One into League Two and then bounced straight back up again. That would be a bit of a history there as well, and obviously a bit of history for the club as well by getting promoted via the playoffs for the first time as well. So there's a lot of incentives here. For the players and the managers to get up. Obviously, getting up into League One is the biggest incentive. But you know, just to kind of get some of these monkeys off their back as well.
Yeah, a couple of records to be broken, and I think it would be good. I think the team deserve that sort of accolade that we get passed to them. And, yeah, I'm going a bit, but I'm looking forward to that. I think it's two very attacking teams, two very good teams, but hopefully we're the team that comes out to victory come Saturday night.
Yeah, so certainly looking forward to it. I'm not sure how much we'll be looking forward to it come maybe 2:45 on Friday, because when the nerves start to kick in. But yeah, it'll be really good. It'll be a really good experience, as these playoffs tend to be. You're either going to really love the playoffs or you're going to really going to hate it.
It'll be a mixture of emotions, that's for sure, because you don't get a second bite. Okay, I know it's a two-legged affair, but you very seldomly get two chances to you know, like change the way the course of the game goes. But yeah, I think both teams will fancy their chances for various reasons. You know, you look at the form book as well. But hopefully it's one, as I say, that we can come out on top of.
All right, now to join me to get his take on the doubleheader against Spartans for one final dance for the season. It is old friend of the show, Kenny Cameron. Kenny, welcome back. Pleasure to have you on again. But I guess about sort of 5-10 minutes before the end of the game on Saturday, there was a fair chance we weren't talking to each other. So it's good to see you again. How are you?
I am good, mate, and it was nice to actually see you the other day at Spartans, and I'm glad you had a good day out and enjoyed your couple of beers and your wee day out.
Yeah, really good. Good to see you. I know you were busy in the background, but no, it was good to get a quick catch-up. Really, yeah, really impressed with everything doing there. I think there's a lot of potential there as well, and I think there's good signs of growth there as well.
Obviously, I was just on your show just the other week, and I was saying that I think some people might be surprised actually at the infrastructure that Spartans has got as a football club and the foundation and whatnot. It's certainly geared up to try and progress as much as it can. I think the goal, I'd be astounded if the goal at the start of the season wasn't to try and get a playoff place. I know some folk think we probably feel that we've punched above our weight. I say this repeatedly now on your show. We didn't want to make up the numbers. We wanted to be competitive, and we've done that. And I think, you know, for season one in League Two, maybe other people are surprised, but I think it's probably goal achieved. You know what I mean? We've hit the target, I think, as a football club and as our support. So we're delighted to obviously be in, and we're delighted to be playing news. I'm kind of delighted to be playing news. I think it'll be game six of the season. So we've played each other quite a lot, but again, it leaves us no surprises going into these games. We both can what's at stake, and we both know what we've got today to hopefully make the playoff final.
Briefly, what was your take on the last game down there, 1-1? Another really late goal for us. What was your take on the game?
I'll be honest, I thought I had a real sort of end of season feel to it. I think both teams are quite content to be in the playoff places. They probably weren't the two first where about. Ultimately, you've got to win your games in the playoffs, and who you play probably doesn't matter. The, ourselves and Dumbarton know a little about each other. Club 9, Stirling Albion as it is now, finishing down there. They didn't care much probably about you know, us. They've had their own sort of fight to deal with. So you've just, if you want to be successful, you've just got to play your games, and you've got to just win them anyway. You've just got to win each tie. You know what I mean? It's over two legs.
Yeah.
So I did. I thought there was a wee bit of end of season feel. I thought that, again, you guys started well. We got a bit of lucky deflected goal. I think on another day, but Kendall gets a couple more goals. We spoke about him the other week, and again, I'm hoping he's saving them goals as he normally does, to be fair, for the big important matches. He's got a great record in the big games. So I, maybe by the end of the season feel, probably a draw, but be fair. And then, but the real business starts now. I'll not be an end of season feel the Moans night, no. Or also Saturday. It's real now. It's a business end. And there's a rejuvenation, I think. I don't know about you guys, but there had been a wee lull, I'd said before, because it was almost wrapped up. There had been a wee sort of rally-faced fight for a wee bit, but that kind of died down and on the last couple of weeks, so maybe the edge was off there. But there's no edge off the one. Absolutely not. It's full steam ahead. I'm personally delighted that Spartans are home first, on a Tuesday especially, the trekking down the road, or we're not trekking up the road, I should say. Interestingly, the away teams have sort of prevailed quite well over the course of the season in our games, but I just think that if Spartans can take something in Mourne, which I know they'll go all out today, we have hopefully a decent crowd, I think, I'd fancy, I said, if we can get something in Mourne to go up, because we know that we can go up there and win. And crucially, Peterhead know that we can go up there and win. Mm. You know what I mean? So I think the Mourne at home on the Tuesday night, I think, is really, really important. And I think it's going to be some game.
Obviously, the three teams that you could have potentially played, you've ended up with Peterhead. Is this the one that you would have preferred, or do you see this as maybe the toughest one out of the three?
I don't know. Again, listen, Dumbarton had a game against us recently. They hammered us. Mm. It was like every mistake we made and everything they hit a goal went in, and you get a freak. It was a completely freak result in the league. There's not many games that have been like that, particularly with the teams sort of up near the top. So it's a cliche in football that anybody can beat anybody. I didn't personally know much about Stirling Albion. What I do know is their runs probably meant that they're lacking confidence, so do you want to play his aim earlier? I didn't know. But what I would say the teams in the league is, again, Dougie, the manager, was quite open. He thought that Peter, he does a chance of being right up there, maybe winning it. As it happens, he's got the second place. But it doesn't matter. I'm not fussed who we played. You've just got to play the game. You've got to play the tie. And you've got to try and win the tie over two games. And then the same again, hopefully, the following week, if you can get through. And then you never know, but the guys will be motivated. We remember the feeling of last year. It'd be an unbelievable achievement for the wee club that we are and where we've come from. You know, I didn't just mean the Lowland League. I mean, it's not that long ago that these guys were ex-university guys. Mm. Came playing amateur football on a Saturday at this club, so it's come a really long way in a short space of time. And to think that we're actually a couple of games away from potentially League One is incredible.
Yeah, because you obviously had the experience of a playoff coming into the division. Do you think that's going to help with the experience?
I definitely think it's going to help. I think last year there's probably made at stake last year because the holy grail for so many people at the football club for so long was just getting into the SPFL. and they achieved that. And it was, I said before, it's harder to get out of the lower league and get the SPFL than it is probably then to get out of League Two, because you've also, you can be in that top four and you can have a playoff place. But so the players have handled that pressure before. The guys, again, that Dougie signed at the start of the season and during the season are experienced players. They're not going to be fazed by it. And see, if I'm being honest, right, ultimately it's a game of football. And it would be great to go up, right, and we'd be disappointed not to know. But in the grand scheme of things, what a season we've had. I didn't think there was pressure on Spartans. No. I really didn't. I didn't know about Peterhead and your fans' expectations and your club's expectations. But can we've come in, we achieved the goal last year, and if we can go up again, the guys are already heroes. It just takes it to another hero, if it's possible, to go to another level of hero status for these players and the management team. So bring it on. Like, we're just looking forward to it now. The last few weeks, like I say, there was a lull. I'm just buzzing now for what's going to be two great games and hopefully four great games, again, if we can come through it.
And the game on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, is available via the Spartans stream as well, which is a good thing, because it's been a Tuesday night. Us travelling down, that will encourage people to watch it there as well, and they're not going to miss out.
I mean, it's great. It's great that there's clubs sort of at this level that can offer that as a service. Hopefully people buy into it, because it's a big ask to get people to finish their work and get down the road on a Tuesday night. And again, that's where I'm talking about. I feel quite lucky that we're at home in the first tie, I have to say, because that is a challenge, and you guys tend to travel well. That would normally, I would imagine, give your players a boost. Okay, going into a game like this, it might be a slightly smaller away support, I don't know. But then also the club can benefit if people do sort of sign up to the streaming then financially, which is really important at our level, for every club. Then hopefully that can put a wee bit of money into the pockets to help the club continue to grow, whether we go up this year or not. We want to keep trying to grow, and just every sort of fiver that people spend, you know what I mean, it all adds up and helps.
Kenny, it's once again a pleasure to talk to you over the course of the season. I'll kind of repeat myself a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't always get to be in this situation. But hopefully it's going to be a fantastic playoff game for the next two legs. One of us is going to be happy on Saturday, one of us is going to be bitterly disappointed. We might be in the same situation again next season where neither of us get up, but I think for both clubs it's been a good season nonetheless.
Absolutely, mate. I can't thank you enough for having me on. And honestly, you're a credit to your club and sort of lower league football. What you do is fantastic for the coverage and that. So, like I say, I'll hopefully not speaking to you for a while. Because you know, if I hope you go up, if you happen to get through this tie, I'd love for you to go up. Good club with good people. Good luck to you, but obviously, selfishly, I want it to be our guys, all right? So, all the best, but I. Win the Spartans.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Kenny Cameron for joining me to preview this week's playoff tie against Spartans, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening, and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.